Blog Talk Radio.
Well, today is Monday, March 25th, 2013, and this is Foxology. I'm Silver Ray Fox. Hi, everybody. I'm your hostess with the mostest. The mostest, what you ask. I'm just always so excited when you guys ask these questions. I hear you. The hostess with the mostest, awesome listeners. Yes, that would be you. The hostess with the most is gratitude and appreciation that you do take the time to see what is going on the Foxology stage. Yes, I appreciate you truly. And you know what? I want to know what you are appreciating today. I just hear you all talking back. I know everything's not perfect, but you know what I say? Don't dwell on that. Dwell on the fact that there are many possible solutions to those things that you may feel are imperfect. Yeah, right. Dwell on the things that will bring you the answers that you need. Is it your life in general? Well, you know what you do. This is what I do. I look for ways to make adjustments and changes wherever necessary. You know, is it your location, your house, your job? Well, you know what? All of those things can be adjusted and changed, too. Your weight, oh, your hair, relationships. Well, I know there's a long list. Look for solutions that will make you happy. That's what you have to do. Look for the things that are going to satisfy you. And you know what? It's something that only you can do. And the good news is that once you do it, you can reach even higher levels of appreciation for taking charge and creating the circumstances you want the most. But in the meantime, appreciate knowing that there are answers that truly do fit perfectly into those things that you think are imperfect situations. And I'm just going to be thinking good thoughts for you, and I wish you good success on the wonderful journey to discovering what those solutions are. Yes, indeed. But back to, is it your job? If that's your question, the answer is right here today. That's right. My special guest is an expert in the area of inspiring, encouraging, and educating people in their job seeking. Jeff Percival is an expert professional and personal training development coach specializing in employee hiring, productivity, and performance. And he has literally educated thousands. And he is here today to talk to us about polishing up our act, polishing up our potential, helping us look at job plus purpose and learning all of that good stuff. Welcome, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great, Silver. Thank you so much for inviting me today. I appreciate it.
Well, you are welcome for sure. You know, I just always can count on you to bring a wealth of sharing really great info when you talk to people. You know, you were a regular guest of ours back years ago when we were doing land radio, and in fact, I think we called you the resident optimist at that time.
I still use that line today.
And people always did appreciate the fact that what you shared with them was always helpful, something that was practical and helpful, useful in their day-to-day approach to growing themselves either at work or looking for a job. So I'm really glad to be talking with you again. You know where I'd like to start out, Jeff? Let's tell people a little bit about your history and your background, because it's extensive. Tell us about how you got started and what led you to the specific specialty area that you're doing now.
Well, interestingly, I was a teacher to start, and as a teacher, I used to run job groups for my students to help get them ready for work. And then after I left teaching, I ended up working, buying a franchise from a success company. and started speaking at some of the local job networking groups here in town. Interestingly, this particular group encouraged amongst their large members, I mean, sometimes there'd be meetings of 70, sometimes there'd be meetings of 100. The gentleman who ran them, Bill Needler, encouraged people to get into small job networking groups. And I was, at the end of my presentations and my workshops, I would always encourage people to do that. And someone said, well, why don't you run one? And I said, well, okay. So I started running my own job networking groups. And we call them a master group because of the fact that many years ago I had read Think and Grow Rich, and I really liked the concept of a mastermind, two or more people working in harmony for a common purpose. And the purpose is successful employment for everyone.
Right. Let me ask you about the kids before we move on with your background. When you were working with the kids, I guess as I look back, and I don't know that that was enforced or as emphatic as it is today, of matching your skills and your desires and your plans for college and working in alignment with what we know now is what we feel is a purpose or a destiny for us in career. Can you reflect on what you did back then? A lot of times, you know, I remember it was you got to go to college. You need these particular skills for working. The ethic was just basically so we could be employed somewhere and gainfully employed. Did you teach any of that back then? And I'm almost certain you do now, but let's talk about how important that is.
Well, interestingly, when I was teaching back then, I was working with older students who had a mild handicap. And once they left school, they would lose the label and they would lose the handicap. And so we really did a lot of work on talking about match your talents to the job, because many of them did not go to college. So a couple did, a few did. But many of them just left school and then went right to work. So we really emphasized that, you know, putting your skills to work, putting your talents to work is the most important thing, and making sure that your talents match up to those that are required for the position. And that philosophy still holds true today.
Do you think that, and I love education and I love higher education, I think it's anybody should do it that can. I think everybody should aspire to be more in the know, whether it's taking it to a PhD or just constantly grasping information to make yourself more informed and skilled at whatever it is you're doing. But do you see currently a lot more people doing what you just said, embracing their talents and putting that into a package rather than seeking those higher-level degrees?
Well, I see a combination of things. I see people really looking at, you know, what are their talents and abilities? You know, where would they take them if they were to look at employment today, as well as using that same thought of, all right, now if I'm going to go for a degree, I better be using my talents and ability. It better be something I have interest in. And many folks who are currently in unemployment situations, I said, well, how can you sharpen your axe? There's an old story about two woodcutters who had a contest to see who could cut the most wood, and the one guy looked over and saw the guy sitting down and taking a break every hour, and he started laughing to himself. He said, boy, I'm going to beat this guy hands down. And at the end, it was the guy who took the break that had more wood cut. He says, well, how did you do that? Well, it's just every time I took a break, I sharpened my axe. And we have to do the same with ourselves. You know, in today's world, there is so much change going on. Just on the computers alone, every time you install a new computer program, it's already outdated. So what are you doing to sharpen your skills? What are you doing to sharpen your abilities so you are truly an asset for an employer rather than a liability? So I encourage people to take time if they have the opportunity, find some additional employment that will help them to sharpen their skills, sharpen themselves. In fact, I work my way through school as a butcher. In some workshops, I'll walk in and I'll carry a butcher knife and a steel, and I'll continuously sharpen it throughout the workshop because of the fact it's so important for people to remember that I wrote a song that says, live for today, grow for tomorrow. You are the gift that you give, whether it be to another person in life or whether it be to an employment situation. So how can you become an asset? Continuously asking yourself that.
Mm-hmm. I am sure that that's the very reason that discontentment begins to set in. Sometimes it's not what you think it is. Sometimes it's not the environment. Sometimes it's just increasing potential either where you are or in yourself. That can be the pivotal difference in that. Jeff, what do you think
I just spoke to someone this morning who was looking at where she wanted to go, and she said, "No, I want to run my own business." I said, "Well, tell me about that. And what are your talents and abilities that would enable you to do that?" And then she started stumbling a little bit. Many people have an idea, but then they have to build the foundation in order to support what they're going to build on that foundation.
Yeah, a lot of folks do have an idea, and that idea has not translated itself into action yet. And, you know, what you just said is one of the key indicators of it, is that they see this, they feel this desire in their heart, but they haven't put it down in even a statement on paper yet, let alone a goal, you know, a goal map of any sort. And that is, it is kind of, well, it's very critical in the process. Before we get into that, though, what are the things, Jeff, just like this woman that you were speaking with, an idea, an interest, a desire, all of those things are telling us something about what we want, purpose in our work, in our career, at our job. From the statistics I see, most of us never get to that. We end up in jobs where it is taking care of the necessities, and sometimes it's not, but it's where we landed and it's where we stay. When we recognize, how would you say that we tell ourselves those things are real indicators of perhaps what your purpose is? Do you tell, when you're dealing with your groups, do you tell them to look for work in that area? Do you find that sometimes you have to say, well, no, this is the feasible thing to do. You really can't sit on the beach every day and play the guitar. What do you do? When people hear, because I know you've heard everything.
Oh, absolutely. Socrates once said, know thyself. And that's the place we need to begin. You know, where do you want to be? What do you want to do? Where are your inclinations? What is your intention? Because intention becomes very important. And that's just another way of looking at purpose. But purpose can say, I've been put in this world to do this. And then the intention is, I'm going to make this happen. And we need to learn to focus our attention on our intention. But we first need to know what that is. And that becomes hard work for some folks. Others, some people know exactly what they want to do. They know, this is my purpose in life. This is what I want to be doing. This is where I need to be going. And others, we need to work on it day in and day out. And part of the process is writing. It's so important because it takes it from the head and it puts it on paper so you can look at it and say, wow, that's really nice. Oh, I really like it. No, I don't know about that. So it enables you to take a thought, an idea from your head, and look at it more objectively once it's in writing. You can stop thinking about it, walk away from it, and come back with new vision and say, I need to go over here on this point. So putting something in writing is the starting point. And when I'm working with people who are in job search, I have them not write down a job title. I have them put in writing, how do they want to be spending their day? What talents and abilities do they want to be using? What will their workspace look like? Will they be working in a team? Will they be working by themselves? Will they have an office? Will they have a cube? Will they be in a manufacturing situation? It doesn't matter. It's for them that they need to be able to create a picture with words so that they can see it in their head. Then the purpose comes into focus. Then their intention comes into focus.
That's wonderful, Jeff. I really, really love that. So we need to really pay attention, because those are indicators, those feelings and those pop-up, I'm going to call them pop-up visions that we get sometimes about things mm-hmm. we'd much rather be doing, or, you know, we've got this talent, but you do it sometimes part-time, a little of the time, and you're working the rest of the time. What do you think about that adage that if you do what you love, the money will follow? Is that a concept
or
that
do
you
love
believe?
Or ever have to work a day in your life? You know, and that's, I think that's really true. And that's, and you just said a key word, belief. It's what you believe that you create in your life. You know, your beliefs are the foundations of what you, how you act and what you produce. So if you love what you're doing, if that is, if, oh my gosh, you know, I have people, you know, writing down, you know, it wasn't until I got to, you know, got over here that I suddenly said, this is what I really want to do. And then all of a sudden, when that happens to an individual, they become magnetic, and people are attracted to them, situations are attracted to them, which will enable them to make that to, into a fulfillment.
That's true. That's true. I really like that as well. Now, let's talk about, let's go back to some basics and some practical things to help people who may be in the job search. You know, we have had a very interesting situation with the economy for a long time, and it looks like slowly but surely people are getting back to work. And I'm sure you have been instrumental in the lives of a lot of folks who have. So when a person comes to your workshop, they're in various situations, and some may be lost their jobs and downsized in various other situations. What is your how are your seminars focused? What do you tell them the first time that they come meet with you? Do you do everything from image to interviews?
Well, I focus on some very specific things. Interesting you talked about image. I'm starting my 20th job networking group, and we take 8 people and work with them. And the first thing we have them do is read a book called Think and Grow Rich, because they need to clarify their thoughts. And most people are not taught how to think, and most people don't even realize their thoughts affect actions. So when I work with people, we focus on two things and two things typically.
Well, Jeff, you can go ahead and pick up right where you left off. You focus on two things and two things specifically.
That's funny. I have no idea. All of a sudden, the operator said, you know, about you weren't there. But anyways, the two things that you do are, you know, you control what you think and what you do. And we focus on accountability, and we focus on attitude, because those are the two most important things.
That's your A game right there, attitude, accountability.
That's right, because I've seen people do the right activities and say, oh, yeah, I'm doing this, and we talk about their attitude, and their attitude's in the dumpster. They're not going to produce results that they want. But if their attitude is correct and they're not doing any actions, they're not going to produce anything either. So those two things have to go in harmony.
So once you've done that, my question is this, because I know a person that has not been exposed to Think and Grow Rich, do they embrace it or do they say, well, yeah, Jeff, you know, all of that sounds really good, but how do you make that work?
It's funny you say that. There's a woman who was in a group around 4 or 5 years ago, and she said, oh, this is a bunch of malarkey, you know, I'm not going to do any of this. And so we had to sit down and, you know, had a sit-down meeting and got serious about, you know, I said, if this is what you want, look, you're not producing anything without it. So why don't you at least try it? And now she's a firm believer in reading positive books, listening to positive audios, and being exposed to positive things, because our attitude, before each and every action that we take, there's a thought, and that thought will affect our action. And the thought can be conscious or subconscious. So we need to be feeding ourselves. In my new book, I talk about the fact of nutrition. You know, we all eat something every day. Why don't we also feed our attitude or our spirit or our soul, whatever you call it? You know, we need to be feeding that every day as well.
Absolutely. So we go from the foundation, which is thinking, and that's an excellent place to start. So what do you tell them now as far as putting practical skills to work for looking for a job?
Well, I have them start writing out, and I don't look about just for a job. I talk about successful employment. Look at all of their jobs in the past. What did they like and enjoy doing? And if they had to create a position, just write, put that down in writing. Write what they would be doing. Again, identifying those talents and abilities they want to be using. What would the workspace look like? What would their supervisor look like? So that, again, they're creating in their mind, but also on paper, that successful employment, what we call successful employment. And there's a couple reasons for doing this. Number one, to clarify their thought process. And number two, when they do end up getting offers, they're now able to look at it in relationship to the successful employment and say, how close is it? And Silver, I can't tell you how many times when they receive an offer, it's like, oh my gosh, this is 85 to 90% of what I was looking for in that successful employment. Okay. You know, otherwise it would have just
amazing.
Been a job. It is.
Do
and
you work with
them,
Jeff?
Go ahead.
Do you work with them, Jeff, at all on how they develop, how they look on paper? Is that part of what you do?
You mean their resumes?
Yes.
Or their pre-approach letter? No, I do not. My emphasis is, do you believe your resume will get you in the door? And I go back to the belief. And I have all kinds of great stories. There was one gentleman, we were working with him, and he would come in and report. I'm just not happy with my resume. And then all of a sudden, one day when we're going around and reporting our successes, he says, oh, I met with someone, and she did 3 changes to my resume, and I love it. Within 5 weeks, he had his first interview for the position that he ultimately received, that he accepted. But it wasn't until he said, I love my resume, that it even opened the door for him to be accepted by an employer.
Well, that was the very reason that I asked that question, because I want people to be very aware. It's one thing to chronologically state the things that you do and you feel very excited about yourself because you've had, the background, the experience, and you've been doing this and that and whatever. However, there are ways to enhance the most simple jobs that you may have had. And then there are ways to make even some of the jobs that are more high profile or have more responsibility look even more powerful as far as attracting attention, even in just a few words. A lot of times we put all of the duties and things that came along with it, when there would be a much more succinct and powerful way of stating that. And I say that to say again, because I think that if we need the professional help in making it look like it could glow in the dark, we should get that. And there are lots of agencies now that will help with that with no charge. Most employment, city and state employment agencies will offer that as a service to most anybody who feels like they need it. But it definitely is, it turns into a type of calling card. And the thing, too, I want everybody to realize is that they'll look through them so fast that they don't look polished and the wording is there. Even though it may not be quite as in alignment with what they're looking for, certain words and certain phrases and things like that will get attention and often help you land in the pile of, let's take a look at them.
Well, you know, and I highly recommend people sitting down with someone to an extra set of eyes, because when we write, you know, we there's a thing called closure. You know, in fact, I looked at one of my last Facebook postings, and I saw that I had left ing off of a word, but in my mind it was there when I posted it. So having someone look at your resume to see not only does it look good, but also does it reflect what you're trying to say? Because sometimes, you know, in our minds, that's what it says, but son of a gun, on paper, that's not what it says. So I highly recommend that. And there are a number of churches right now that are getting into the support of people who are in job search mode and running programs. And there's I'm here in the Milwaukee area, and there's Elmbrook Church has been highly supportive of job seekers for years. And one of the services they offer is, you know, reviewing resumes.
Jeff, I want to talk about the interview, because, you know, that can either seal the deal or you can fall on your face so fast you just wonder who's going to be there to help pick you up. So
absolutely.
Let's throw out some things that are going to help people really bring their A game when they show up for those interviews. And I will start by saying always prepare. Always dialogue in your own head. Be familiar with the company. And these are things you can read anywhere online about how to prepare for an interview. But it really matters that you go in feeling confident, that you feel a great deal of self-assurance. And I don't care if that means you're applying for a job at McDonald's or you're applying to be a CEO. I think that preparation will definitely impact how you carry yourself in there and the type of attitude that you have once you're sitting in front of an individual. I think all of it certainly should be visualized. Talk to somebody else. Let somebody do a mock interview with you to ask you pertinent questions. So you go in there ready and set to go.
And I tell folks two specific things about the interview. Although I don't practice interviewing, there are a number of organizations around here that will help practice with an interview. What I tell them is, number one, remember the interview goes both ways. You're not just being interviewed for the job. You are interviewing them to see if you want to work there. And many people forget that. So they need to go in with their own interview questions. They need to find out, is this the right place for me? And then I want them to know what all my talents and abilities are so that they see me as an asset instead of a liability. Then the second thing is, before they go into whatever the situation, the interview situation is, whether it be a factory, whether it be a meatpacking plant, or whether it be an office space, sit in your car. All of a sudden, two people walk out of the building with trumpets, and they start playing a fanfare. Then two more people come out rolling a red carpet. And then they roll a red carpet right up to your car, and then they walk up to your car and they said, "Oh, we've been waiting for you. Welcome." So that you feel as though this is the place I want to be working in. So that you feel this is a place I'm going to go in, and I'm going to share all of my talents and abilities, and it's going to be a wonderful situation. Whether you get the job or not, doesn't matter. What do you think in the beginning is going to affect the results? So I tell people to visualize a fanfare, a red carpet, and people walking up and saying, "We've been waiting for you."
That's really an awesome visual right there. In fact, I was sitting here thinking, I think I'm going to use that for a lot of stuff, showing up at the grocery store
or whatever.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, there are a couple of other things I want to say about the interview process before we move on. A lot
okay.
of times at the end of an interview, people feel, the candidate will often feel a bit of ambiguity. What's going on? Did I say the right things? All of that.
Yep.
But I want to encourage people to make sure you wrap the interview. They may not assure you of anything. And that's typical. They don't do that, especially if they're looking at other people, if they're in that phase of looking for someone. Be gracious. Give a handshake if that's inappropriate. Thank them for taking the time to consider you as an applicant. Say something like, if you need any additional information with me, you know how from me, you know how to reach me. Thank you so much. I hope to hear from you. Something that's a good tie-up wrap-up, again, that shows your attitude. Don't walk away feeling nervous, looking scared, or looking like you didn't think you said the right, didn't say all of the right things. Well, maybe you didn't. You know, not all of us do. Sometimes you do walk away wishing you had, you know, put in more selling points or emphasize certain other talents or things that you did in another place, and you just forgot because you were maybe a little bit nervous. But remember to wrap it up, tie it up as well as you can so that it looks real polished and professional at the end, and you walk away looking real good.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think sometimes the way people walk away with feelings of ambiguity is because they're trying to sell themselves for the job instead of finding out, is this the right job for me, and am I showing them all of my talents and abilities? Because that's what they want to find out. What are you bringing to the table? That's what an interview is all about. Now, I recommend four questions because people walk out, they say, oh, my gosh, I did an awful job. Who's your worst critic, Silver?
It's always ourselves.
That's right. So instead of walking out and saying, oh, my gosh, I was awful, oh, I screwed this up, I give job seekers four questions so that they can use when they leave. And the first question is, number one, what did you do well? So the focus is on the positive immediately. Boom, 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 I did this, oh, I really showed them this. And the second question is, if I had to do it over, what would I do differently? And the purpose of that question is to prepare you for the next interview so that you're continuously learning and growing. Question number three is, what is the reason to hire me? So did I get all those things out? Because if not, with number four, we can then add more information, give them more information. Because the question number four is, what are my next steps? And I always recommend a handwritten note as well as an email, because in today's world, you know, people expect immediacy. So the email gives them an immediate response, but the handwritten note gives a nice personal touch.
Yes, yes. And Jeff, before we move on to talking about your awesome books, let's talk about how you handle the fact that you do have to keep looking, and you have to keep seeking. It's a competitive market. That's never changed. The job market's always been like that. You're always competing with somebody for that job. What do you say to your people to keep them encouraged?
Well, this goes back to the attitude and accountability, is that they always need to be searching for new places. In sales, we talk about keeping the funnel full so you have people to talk to. The same is true with employment. You need to be finding new places. And that's the reason for holding them accountable. You know, so what is your goal for getting an application out this week? How many applications or how many resumes are you going to get out this week? Because you do not place all, especially with Easter, you don't put all of your eggs in one basket. You know, because you know, I've seen this happen. Oh, that was a great interview. So all of a sudden their activity stops. Not, all right, you had a great interview. Okay, what are you going to look at this week? How many applications are you going to get out? How many resumes are you going to get out? You mean I have to? Yeah, well, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know what their response is. And until you do, until you have something in writing from the company, you continuously look, you continuously apply, you continuously send out resumes. It's just a part of the process.
That's what I want people to know, because that discouragement will definitely set in. I know I've been there and so many others have. You do have to keep your feelers out and doing something on a daily basis. Jeff, let me ask
on that note of disappointment, I have taught people to celebrate a letter of rejection, because what it does is it frees you up to put your energy someplace else. But most of the time, it hits us and it's like knocks our knees out and we fall to the ground. Instead, say, okay, no, because I've got other things in the work, now I can focus on those other things. And really celebrate the rejection, because you learn something. That's right. It's just reframing it.
Absolutely, and I certainly believe in that concept. Life just is that way, and, you know, that's one of the foundational messages behind Foxology shows, and that is to help people deal with life as is. Things happen a certain way, and there's certain requirements. There's certain ways to play this game, and the more we know in wisdom, in practicality, in pursuit of what we need and what we want, the better, and the better we know how to deal with it on a daily basis. But let's talk about your books.
Oh, okay.
You wrote a book with a funny title. You co-wrote this book with a close friend of yours, but it's called Work Makes Me Sick, and you've got yourself on the cover of that, going into heart attack mode or anxiety or something. Let's tell people about that book and what your reason was for putting that one out there like that.
Well, the full title is Work Makes Me Sick, Prescribe Something Quick. I've been self-employed for a number of years, and I had merged my company with another company, and I went out for a drink with two friends. And we just started talking about how stressful it was working for somebody else and just, you know, the work environment. And we said, too bad there isn't a handbook to help people resolve that stress, get rid of the stress. So we decided to write one ourselves. It took us 2.5 years, and what we did was we put out a survey, and unfortunately we didn't know about SurveyMonkey at the time, because that would have made it easy. But we did hand surveys. We had collected over 200 to find out what people did to get rid of stress in their life around work. And Kathy and I put together, I think, a great handbook on how to look at what's going on in your work situation, what are the sources of stress, and then how to reduce that stress in your workplace.
And
No, that was the whole purpose of the book, to help people reduce stress in the workplace, handle it
better. Well, it certainly is a reality that stress it causes all kinds of, and since you wrote your book, more and more has become apparent of how it does affect you mentally, emotionally, and physically.
Physically,
I mean, it puts some people out of commission, literally. Literally.
Indeed.
I was working with a group the other day teaching speaking and presentation skills, and was teaching them how to utilize statistics and stories and things like that. And one of the group was, her subject matter was stress, and it was just so profound. She said, stress is one of those kinds of things that will take you to the hospital and you don't come out. And I thought, wow.
Absolutely.
You know, how profound is that? Sad, but true. And so I'm wondering, what do you say to people when it seems like they cannot extract themselves from the stress? It's time to extract yourself from the job, isn't it?
We'll even say that. That's correct. You know, hopefully you have something to move on to, but even if you don't, you have to weigh out, is this going to eat me up in such a way that I'm not going to be able to function, or do I remove myself from this employment situation so that I can move on to something better for me physically, emotionally, and mentally. So it's something that people do have to weigh, and we'll recommend if the cost is more than the benefits, you should start looking.
Yeah, absolutely.
What you want is the benefits. You want the benefits to outweigh the cost.
Yeah, and if you're going to be at work, you want to at least live to enjoy the life you're trying to build for yourself, for sure. Let's talk about your new book. Congratulations on that. I was excited to see that when you posted that. That is just so awesome. That's happened just since the beginning of the year. That's wonderful.
That's correct. So I wrote it last year, and I finally found an e-publisher, and it's being put out by Baby Book, and it's in all ebook stores. There are currently in 10 ebook stores around the world, whether it be a Nook or a Kindle or iPad or just a reader, you can find it for each and any one of those. The title is Job Search Survival Kit. And I had heard people talking for so many years about, you know, I just need to survive being on a, I just need to survive this. That it hit me one day. I was going through some of my things, and I was a Boy Scout for years, and I found an old survival kit that we used to build. And I said, wow, this would be perfect. So I take the concept of what's inside of a survival kit and the elements within a survival kit, and then I apply it to the job search process.
Okay, well, what is in a survival kit for job search, Jeff? Tell us.
Well, In a survival kit, it doesn't matter if you go out and spend hundreds of dollars and, you know, in a camping store, or if you just build one yourself, there are five key elements. The things in there to help you provide, to help give you shelter. There's something inside a survival kit to give you nutrition or help to find nutrition, to build a fire, to capture someone's attention, and give you direction so you know where you need to go. So those five things, shelter, nutrition, fire, and attention and direction, are the keys to a survival kit, and that's what we talk about in the Job Search Survival Kit.
Share a little bit of information about each of those steps.
Well, let's start with shelter. And we're coming up to a holiday season, whether it be Passover or Easter. You know, families get together, and around the dinner table, someone is going to say, out of love, I mean, you haven't found a job yet, and that just cuts to the quick. So how do you protect yourself from those loving people who question what you're doing? So you need to create a shelter. You need to create a space where you can go to and be safe and know that you're not going to be harangued. As well as before you go to a family situation, have something that you're going to say to them. Yep, I'm still looking. You know of anything, let me know. But this is what I'm looking for. And so sheltering your attitude, sheltering your emotions becomes very important.
Yeah, so by sheltering, you're meaning protecting yourself against people who only know how to say negative things or naysayers or are not offering the information that empowers and encouraging you. I like that. So what's number two?
Number two is nutrition. That goes back to... you know, we all eat something every day. Well, we need to be feeding our spirit, our attitude. And so I give a list of authors and a list of books and audios that I personally love. You mentioned earlier that this is all just a game. Life is a game. And one of my favorite books that I recommend is Florence Shin's. That's an Shinn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called
mm-hmm.
The Game of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such an important book because it addresses how do you deal with stress? How do you deal when things aren't going your way? And so we need to feed our attitude. So listening to something and writing, or even writing yourself, writing down what you want to see, what you want to make happen. Most people don't do that. So we need to provide nutrition. And when I talk about fire, it's not to cook the food, but it's fire. I talk about the fire of desire. And how do you create that desire within yourself for what you want? It goes beyond desire versus want means the desire has emotion. Wanting is intellectual. So how do you build that fire of desire, desiring successful employment? And earlier I had said, you know, the benefits have to outweigh the cost. Having a benefits list. If people have been on, I work with folks who have been unemployed everywhere from 5 weeks to 3 years. And those who have been unemployed for, you know, a year, that benefit list had better continuously grow. All the benefits to yourself, to your family, to your kids, to your spouse, to your significant others. You know, what are the benefits for you finding successful employment? Because there's a cost. And that's what that fire is. The benefits will help build the fire. The cost can help douse the fire. And then we talk about attention.
That's wonderful.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does.
Good. And then we talk about attention. And there's two things about attention. Number one, how do you get the employer's attention? And that's, I suggest being creative and, you know, being yourself and getting out there so people get to see you. So and getting resumes and applications out so the employers see you. What's going to attract your attention, the employer's attention? There was a guy here in Milwaukee who bought himself a billboard, rented a billboard, put his face up there and, you know, said what he was looking for. And sure enough, it led to him. An employer drove by and saw him. He says, oh, I think I'll give this guy a try. So what unique way are you going to get people's attention? But also, where is your attention? Focus is so important, especially when you're in a stressful, not pleasant situation, such as unemployment. You know, so you need to focus your attention on your intention. So you keep it focused on, I am successfully employed. And then lastly, direction, knowing where you're going to go. And that's really one of the first things that we talk about, writing down, this is where I'm going to be.
I think it's all fantastic, Jeff. Excellent, excellent, excellent guidance. But I had no doubt you would bring it on like that. So,
well, thank you.
I appreciate
thank you.
All of that. I would like for you to tell people some of the things that you do and are available for and how they can find out about your products and your services.
Well, if you, number one, if you just Google Percival Enterprises, which is the name of my company, again, that's Percival Enterprises, I'm the first one who comes up, and it'll take you to my website so that you can see. I specialize, my professional side, I specialize in employee assessment tools to help employers gather the information they want from their employees so that they can be better employees, but also so that it's a win-win-win situation. So the customers win, the employer wins, but also the employees. And as well as the fact of, you know, the job search survival kit, one of the things that I have on my website is some folks don't know really what they want to do. They've worked in this job for 10 years and it hasn't quite worked out the way they thought. So I have a great job assessment or career assessment, which doesn't provide you titles of jobs, but it provides you, these are your talents and abilities. This will work well over here. This would not work well in over here. It comes out with 11 different reports. So helping employers as well as candidates make sure that they're finding the best place for themselves to be working and finding the best employees to work for them. That's what I do for a full-time job.
Well, that's not bad, Guy. That sounds pretty awesome to me, and you've been doing a great job at it. I really appreciate your time today. I am just excited about your new book. I love the content, and certainly everything that you have talked about today has led us to and fed us information on exactly what I wanted people to hear, and that was how to increase their potential and how to look in terms of finding your purpose and your job. And it sounds like the tool that you just mentioned would be something, if you can get hold of that, and they can through you, to really do a more thorough analysis of what you really are thinking about, what those inspirations, inclinations, and ideas are saying about you. So I hope that people will take advantage of looking at your website to do that. And again, it's Percival Enterprises. You can Google that, and tons of information will show up about Jeff. And Jeff, why don't you too just go ahead and give your website address out as well.
And my website, I abbreviate Percival Enterprises, so it's www.perc-ent.com. So it becomes percent. And that's what I use as a logo for my company, is the percent sign.
Well, how clever and how creative. Now, before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to say to people who are listening?
Well, number one, you're not alone. Many people struggle through job search by themselves. There are so many opportunities out there and services out there, everything from the government providing services to churches now providing services to job seekers. So realize you don't have to be alone. And that's really one of the sources of stress is, you know, you're in your house and you go out and you apply. There's a website, and if I can give this out, which will identify job clubs, those small groups, the small networking groups that will support you, and www.bol.gov/jobclubs will give you listings of job clubs around the country that you can take a look at and can provide support to. And I'm really pleased the Department of Labor decided to put that together and was actively instrumental in working with them on getting them information. So you're not alone, and you need to feed your attitude. So start by some of the books that we talked about today, The Game of Life, Think and Grow Rich. There's so many positive books out there. Start reading as well as start writing. What do you want? What do you desire?
Yes, and I second that. I've read The Game of Life probably 5 times, and I've probably listened to the audio at least 50 to keep myself in the frame of thought that she teaches. It's an interesting book and audio because it's from, almost a century ago, I'm thinking.
It was written in the 20s, right in the 20s.
Right, and I'm thinking back then it was a very interesting thing to have that kind of intellectual thought and step out and write it and speak, you know, and speak it. But it is information that is just really so relevant right now. Jeff, thank you again for taking time out of your day to join me on Foxology. It's been a very amazing conversation and really, really educational. So I appreciate all that you do. I wish you continued success, and you know I'll have you back on again sometime in the next
few months.
Over
my pleasure.
So,
any way I can be of service, just let me know.
I will do. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye now.
Bye. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Foxology. Please tell your friends on Facebook and other social media venues that you might be a part of that this show airs every Monday at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. And I'm always going to have something real special for you that's going to help you in some kind of way. And I do hope that today's information has helped you, or if you can share it with somebody else that's perhaps in the job-seeking mode. All these little tips and techniques can often make the difference. I hope you all have a great day. And again, if that is you or somebody you know, this isn't original, but you know, seek and you will find. So I believe if you put the right things out there going in the right direction, that job's going to show up with your name on it. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.